Let's take our Bibles, let's turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. The book of Hebrews is special in a lot of ways. And one of the ways the book of Hebrews is special is there's not the typical salutation. Pastor gave us the schedule, the outline, our dates and topics that we were going to have to cover. And he said he wanted to do a character study. And I was excited for the character study. And I was excited to find out who my character was, who he was going to give me. And I got the list, and my character was the Hebrews. And I was like, all right, that sounds great. So I hopped on my computer and punched Hebrews into the search engine to make sure I had my text just narrowed down. And it comes back in the book of Hebrews, the word Hebrews is mentioned 0 times. And I was like, oh no, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And Pastor is so helpful and so encouraging in those meetings. I appreciate those meetings. It's one of my favorite parts of the week is those meetings. And I would encourage anybody, get in on it. Just absolutely get in on it. It's born out of a heart. We just had missions conference. And I know this type of meeting is born out of a heart that Pastor had for missionaries. And he said, you know, we would expect missionaries to do these things. We would expect them to train up people in their churches to take over and help if the pastor ever had to be away, if the missionary ever had to be away on furlough. And he said, we don't do that in our churches. And I remember the conversation we had. He said, why would we expect a missionary to do something we weren't willing to do? And I appreciate Pastor's heart. I appreciate his willingness to look at a situation and the vision to go forward on it. Well, I saw that Hebrews was mentioned 0 times in the book. And so I did what every lazy high schooler might do. We know, what do we do when we get a new math textbook? As a lazy high schooler, what do we do? New math textbook, you flip to the back of the book, see if the answer's in there, right? Absolutely. And so our text here is at the back of the book. Instead of the salutation, we'll be at the benediction. We'll be at the end here. So Hebrews chapter 13, we'll start reading verse number 20. Thinking of the Hebrews. The Bible says in verse number 20, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this day, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to stand behind the sacred desk, God. And I pray that you please just hide me behind the cross, Lord. I pray that you just have yourself be lifted up. Lord, I pray that we'd see you for who you are. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand your word. Lord, I pray you'd help us to glean from it. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord. Lord, we're counting on you for a supernatural work. Lord, we're counting on you to speak to us where we're at. And God, I pray that you please help us. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. It's important when we're studying the Bible to understand who is speaking and to whom they are speaking. We could misquote, we could mischaracterize many passages of Scripture if we misapply who is speaking and to whom they're speaking. And so we have a passage here where there's an emphasis on personal pronouns. If we see here in verse number 20, "Now the God of peace that brought from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ," who's Lord? Our Lord. "That great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect." Make who perfect? You perfect. "In every good work to do his will, well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. It's important for us to understand who the you is. It's important for us to understand who is being addressed. We understand it's the Hebrews here. This is a specific people group. This is a specific audience. We have to understand that we can learn here by proxy. This, as Gentile people, this book was not originally addressed to us. It was addressed to the Hebrew Christians. Now, we can learn by proxy. And I was trying to think of a way to illustrate this, and the Lord brought to mind the work that we do here at school. In school, our Abeka curriculum for the lower grades is on Abeka videos. And so what they'll do is they'll have a teacher teaching a class, and they'll videotape the teacher teaching. And as the teacher goes through the day teaching, they videotape it, and they record it, and they send that in, and our kids watch this teacher teaching this other class. Now, it would be right to say that our kids are learning by proxy. They're learning while watching somebody else teach somebody else. And we can do that here tonight. We can understand that the book of Hebrews applies to us just like it applied to the Hebrew Christians in the first century. We can understand that, but we need to make sure that we understand to whom it is written. It is written to these Hebrew Christians. It's not just written to Hebrews, it's written to Hebrew Christians. And the difference there is paramount. The difference is obvious. This book is not written to Hebrew Pharisees. This book is not written to the Hebrew Jews, the Hebrew practitioners of Judaism. This book is written to Hebrew Christians, people that have turned to Christ. We see at the beginning of the book, in verse number 1, it says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Back in the Old Testament, this is how God spake. Verse number 2, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Now God is speaking to us through the person of Jesus Christ. Now we understand the fulfillment of those prophecies. So these are Christian people. Now we understand that the book is written to the Hebrews and not the Israelites. It's titled Hebrews. It's not titled Israelites. Now there's a very important distinction between that. Hebrew would predate the country of Israel. Abraham was called a Hebrew, not an Israelite. He predates Israel. So this book is hearkening back to a time before the country of Israel was even established. This book is hearkening back to the promises given to Abraham. This book is hearkening all the way back to the start of their lineage, the start of their people group. It's written to the Hebrews, not the Israelites. It also goes forward in time past when Israel would be destroyed. Israel could be ransacked. Israel, we understand, at this time was under Roman rule. Israel, we understand, later in life would cease to exist as a country, as a people group. People would be scattered throughout the world. And then we have 1946. The country of Israel starts again. Hallelujah. But the book of Hebrews predates all that, and it goes past all that. The Hebrew people are distinct. Now, I want us to see quickly, these Hebrew Christians, for us to understand this book, we need to understand these people. I was reading after a commentary, John Phillips, I think, and he mentioned that, imagine a Hebrew who had just become a Christian. And because he's become a Christian, he's lost everything. He's lost everything. His Jewish family has held a funeral for him, behaving as though he's dead. A will has been enacted. He's treated exactly like he was dead. He's lost his family. He's lost his job. Oftentimes, the Pharisees and the priests would put pressure on a Jewish businessman to fire any Christian Hebrews. He's lost his job. His family has turned away from him. He's lost his job. And oh, by the way, his kids are now no longer allowed back in school. His kids are done. It's time for them to not be educated in the Jewish schools anymore. It's over. And so this Hebrew Christian, he's lost his job. He's lost his family. His kids have lost their school. He's lost the tradition of his countrymen. He's thinking about this, and now some of the feasts don't really make that much sense anymore. Why celebrate the Passover feast when the Passover lamb's already come? Why do these things? Why follow these rituals when Christ has completed them? These traditions have been hollowed out. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about a friend of mine. She moved to England, and she's at a good church there in England. And she would tell us that the one thing she really misses, is Thanksgiving. She misses Thanksgiving. They obviously don't have Thanksgiving over there. And so it would come to Thanksgiving time, and she would want to have the big turkey dinner and all the fixings and everything like that, but they don't celebrate it there. And that can make her real homesick. And I understand that, but she at least has the separation of being in a whole another country. Imagine all of a sudden you're in the same country, you're in the same house, you're in the same neighborhood as you've always been, but now all those traditions don't really make sense, don't really work. So he's lost his job, he's lost his family, his kids have lost their school, he's lost his traditions, and now he's got to walk home and look his wife, look his kids in the eye and tell them, hey, look, because we converted to Christianity, because we've trusted in Jesus, these are the negative consequences. This is what's happened. That's a sorrowful walk. I would imagine I would take the long way to get home. I would meander a little on my way home. He's in need of comfort. This Hebrew brother, he's in need of comfort. He needs somebody to pick him up. He needs something to lift him up. And what we get is the book of Hebrews. With this person in mind, with this man in mind who's got to go tell his wife that, I don't know how we're going to make the rent because I just lost my job. He's got to go tell his kids, I don't know how you're going to be educated. You're not allowed back at school. And with this man in mind, we have the book of Hebrews. We understand it's a doctrinal book. It pairs well with the book of Romans. It's a doctrinal book. And the reason why we can have comfort in doctrine is because there's comfort in the truth. There's comfort in knowing what's right. There's comfort in being able to go ahead forward, full steam, knowing what's right. There's comfort in that. But beyond that, we see here in the closing, we see some comforting things to this Hebrew man. We see some comforting things to this Hebrew Christian. Verse number 20, let's look at it quickly. The Bible says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. A Hebrew man needing comfort. A Hebrew man that needs to tell his wife everything's going to be all right. A Hebrew man that needs to go forward as a Christian despite the problems. He can have comfort looking backward. He can have comfort looking behind him. We see here, verse number 20, the Bible says, now the God of peace. The God of peace. The God of peace. Not a God. Not one of the gods. The God of peace. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1, verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables, which made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Verse number 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Verse number 21, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We have not followed a God, we followed the God. There's peace and there's comfort in that, knowing that we have followed the one true God. Not the God of the Egyptians, not the God of the Amorites, not the God of the Greeks or the Romans. We followed the God. We followed the one true God. How about gods today? We think of the gods of humanism. We've not followed the God of humanism. Voltaire said, 100 years from my death, the Bible will be a museum piece. We've not followed him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Richard Dawkins said, scientific rationalism is the crowning glory of the human spirit. Not following him. We followed the God of peace. We haven't followed the gods of entertainment. John Lennon said, Christianity will go, it will vanish and shrink. We are more popular than Jesus. Well, it doesn't seem so. It doesn't seem so. They have passed off the scene. They're not topping the Billboard 100 charts anymore. I think it's safe to say. We have not followed a God. We have not followed these temporary and finite beings. We have followed the God, the eternal, omnipotent, omniscient God, the one true God. This idea carries with it the idea of supremacy. God being supreme. He's overall. He's more powerful. He's greater. I like the way Pastor says it. He says it's not in the comparative sense. Me versus you. It's in the superlative sense. God is greater than everything. All. He's greater than all. We see the God of peace. We can have comfort looking at the God of peace. He has reconciled lost sinners to himself. He's redeemed us. He's forgiven us. He's adopted us. He's the God of peace. We can look back at this God that saved us and we can have peace and comfort. Next, we see that great shepherd. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Now, this Hebrew man, he could think of Jesus as the great shepherd. He could think of Jesus as the good and perfect shepherd. And he can think back to a time when his forefathers were in Egypt. He can think back to a time when they got a specific parcel of land called Goshen because they were shepherds. And the Egyptians would have no dealings with sheep. He can think back to that and he can remember, we're a special people. We're a special people. Next we see Israel's greatest king was a shepherd boy. David started off as a shepherd. The writer of the book of Hebrews uses this phrase. He says, that great shepherd. Reminder, there was a pretty good shepherd who became a king. But he wasn't that great shepherd. He wasn't that great shepherd. Jesus is the great shepherd. He left heaven's glory to seek and to save that which was lost. He's the great shepherd. He leads us as a shepherd. This Hebrew man could think back to Psalm 23 and be comforted looking back at that psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. We can be encouraged, despite our circumstances, knowing that great shepherd. He restoreth my soul. He's the God of peace. He's that great shepherd. He cares for you. He cares for me. He cares for that Hebrew brother. He cares for us. We might have nothing. We might have nothing left. But we have that great shepherd who cares for us. Next, we see through the blood of the everlasting covenant. This is the Abrahamic covenant. A reminder that the book of Hebrews is titled to the Hebrews and not to the Israelites. Going back to Abraham, the Hebrew. Going back to him. The Abrahamic covenant. He looks back at people who have gone before him in Hebrews chapter 11. These other men of God, these other people who trusted Christ and have gone forward and done great things, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, by faith. By faith, over and over again. By faith, Abraham sojourned. By faith, Moses. By faith, Abel. By faith, Noah. We see all these men of God, all these people who wanted to serve God do something great. And he can look back and remember, there was a time where they were persecuted too. There was a time where it was tough for Noah building that ark. There was a time where it was tough for Moses being on the backside of the desert feeling like he was forgotten. There was a time where it was tough. And these people gone before us have done it. We can do it too. If we're struggling tonight, if we're having a hard time with something tonight, we can look back at people that have gone before us and take comfort in that. We can look at Paul, the great missionary. We can look at the Waldenses and the Donatists as we trace our lineage up through history. We can look at Tyndale and the price that he paid that we might have a Bible in English, dying hoping that someday God would open the eyes of the king and allow a Bible to be printed in English. I'm glad for that. I'm glad for that. We talked about First Bible International, and it's amazing just how God works these things out. I'm glad there was a man named William Tyndale who would stand up and pay the price so that way we could have a Bible in English. Hallelujah. We can look back and we can say, I can go forward for Christ because these other people have gone on before me. We can look at the Anabaptists and the price that they paid for believers' baptism. You know, the Anabaptists, just quickly, they refused to let their babies get baptized. It's not in the Bible. If it ain't in the Bible, we shouldn't do it. So they refused to let their babies get baptized. And the church at the time said, fine, you don't want to have your babies baptized as a baby? We'll just throw them in the river and baptize them that way. And these people would have their kids ripped from their arms and drowned in the river. And standing up for what was right. Going forward, paving the way for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can look at John Bunyan and the price that he paid being jailed for refusing to accept a license to preach. These Hebrew Christians, they could look backward and have comfort. As Gentile Christians, as Christians in 2018, we can also look backward and have comfort. Next, we see these Hebrew Christians could decide to look forward and have comfort. Verse number 21, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. God wants us to be complete. God wants us to be mature Christians. God wants us to be grown-up Christians. We shouldn't always have to settle for the milk of the Word. We shouldn't always have to settle for easy things in the Bible. We can grow spiritually. We can grow. We should be able to lead others also. Amen. As we grow in grace, as we mature in Christ, the Bible says here, make you perfect in every good work to do His will. You know, God has a will for us. It's something that we mention to kids all the time. We'll say, I don't know how many times in morning chapel at school, you know, God has a plan for their lives, and He does. But God's plan doesn't have an expiration date. God's plan doesn't end just because we turned, you know, 18, 58, 108. God's plan doesn't end for us. God has a plan for us. We should be seeking it. We understand that there's a general revelation of God. We understand there's things God wants everybody to do. We can read those things in the Bible. We understand that. But there's something specific God has for you to do. There's something specific that we should be doing and going forward. You know how this Hebrew man could comfort himself in the Lord? He could comfort himself in the Lord by getting busy in his local church. He could comfort himself in the Lord by saying to his wife, "Hun, I know we've lost everything, but there's a group of believers meeting and we're going to go meet up with them and we're going to see what we can do to help reach somebody else. There's a group of believers meeting and we're not going to miss it. We're going to be there. I don't know what God has for us, but we're going to show up." Hebrews said it in chapter 10, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. We should be going forward together. This man, this Hebrew man, has lost his family. They've excommunicated him from the family. He's lost his job, but he has a new family. He has a group of believers that would gladly yoke up with him and help him bear that burden. And might I say this, when we are struggling, it's time to double down. It's time to get busy for God. It's not time to pull back. It's time to go forward. Go forward till it makes sense. Go forward till you know what to do. God has a plan for us and we ought to go forward and get it done. God has a plan for us, whether we're struggling or not. God has a plan for us. I think of Job. He shouldn't have been sitting around with his friends, listening to them condemn God, and he shouldn't have been sitting around listening to his wife say, curse God and die. He had a job to do. Get up and go get it. I think of Joshua, after the battle of Ai, 36 people die, and he's saying, God, where did I go wrong? God says, it's not praying time. It's getting up and getting the right time. We can have comfort looking forward. We can have comfort going forward. And lastly, and I really wanted to get to this point, I'm excited about this point. Hebrew Christians deciding to have comfort looking upward. The Bible says in verse number 21, at the second half, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This Hebrew man, as he's struggling, he could look backwards and be reminded of people that have survived difficult circumstances and gone on for Christ. He could look forwards at the job that Christ has for him to do. But he could also look upwards at the Lord Jesus Christ. He could have encouragement looking up. He could have encouragement looking forward to Christ. I think of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. We could turn there quickly. Hopefully it won't take you long. It's just one page over. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We can have comfort looking unto Jesus, who He is. He's the author and finisher of our faith. What He's done, He's endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of glory. How He did it, verse number 3, that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. The joy that was set before Him. The contradiction He endured. His thoughts on our reconciliation, our redemption. We think about this, we think the Creator was crucified by the creation. That's a contradiction against Himself. The Savior slain by the sinners, that's a contradiction. The innocent punished by the guilty. Not just for the guilty. We need to understand this. It's not just that He died for the guilty. He died by the guilty. These people who He's paying their sin debt actively as they're committing the sin against Him. He died by the guilty, not just for the guilty. We can be strong, lest we be wearied and faint in our minds by looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, to whom be glory forever and ever. This has the idea of ages past, ages right now, and ages to come. Jesus is going to have the glory forever and ever. These trials that we're going through, these difficult times that we might be going through, this thing that we feel like is going to crush us, we could look at it and say, Jesus is greater than this. He's bigger than this. He was around before this. He'll be around after this. He's greater than this. This thing that we feel, boy, I don't know how I could get over this. I don't know how I could get through this. How could this Hebrew man explain to his wife that they have no money coming in? How could this Hebrew man explain to his kids they have no school to go to? He points them to Christ. He says, Jesus has been here before. Jesus will go through this after. Jesus has helped people before. Jesus will help people after. Jesus is eternal. We can look forward to knowing Jesus. We can look forward to seeing Christ. We see here that this Hebrew man needed to understand that turning to Christianity was not rejecting Judaism. It was not turning away from Judaism. It was finishing Judaism. It was not rejecting the Old Testament. It was resolving the Old Testament. It was not condemning the prophets. It was confirming the prophets. That Jesus came just like He said He would. That He lived and died just like He said He would and paid the price for our sins just like He said He would. There's comfort in that. There is comfort in that. Quickly. Our Hebrew friends in this book, they were struggling. They were struggling. We see the next few books are also addressed to these Hebrew believers. But we start off with Hebrews. We start off with the book of Hebrews. We start off with the idea that Jesus is better. We start off with the idea that He's better than all these things. all the things that came before. He's better. He finishes it. He completes it. Our Hebrew friend can have encouragement. The Messiah, God's chosen one, the seed of Abraham, had come. He had crushed the serpent's head, and he had paid the price for our sin. God's Son was offered like so many spotless lambs before him. Now our Hebrew friends need comfort. When we need comfort, we can look back at what Jesus has done for us. If we're struggling with a battle over sin, we can think about some battles over sin we've already won. You know, the best way to build that confidence is to think about things we can go through now because we've been made stronger through things we've already been through. It's nice to know that sometimes if we're going through a struggling time, if we're going through a tough time, to look back at some other tough times that God's brought us through and say, hey, I don't know how it's going to work out, but God's going to bring me through this because God brought me through back then. Amen. This Hebrew person can look back and have comfort. This Hebrew person can look forward. Work for the night is coming. Work for the time is coming when we can no longer work for Christ. Do something for God. We should all be involved in something that only God can finish. That's called walking by faith. We should all be stepping out on faith in something that we're not exactly sure how it's going to end up. Sometimes it's witnessing over and over again to somebody who's rejected it before. Sometimes it's just stepping out in a new ministry. Sometimes it's saying, Pastor, I want to do something. What do you need to have done? And Pastor will get you going. Pastor will get you busy. Pastor's vision for this place is incredible. Incredible. It's just going to take work. It's just going to take people pulling on the rope. And if we're struggling, that's a great time to start working for Christ. If we're struggling, that's a great time to start looking forward at something we can do for God. And we can look upward. You know, Jesus is still on the throne. Jesus is still coming back. Jesus is still the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is still the mediator between God and man. Hallelujah. Jesus is still the propitiation for our sins. Not just ours only, but the sins of the whole world. Jesus is still Emmanuel, God with us. We can go forward because of who Jesus is. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The Bible says, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If we're struggling, and I don't know, God knows. I don't know who might be struggling. I don't know who might be going through something. I think of some of the toughest times in our lives. I think of a time when we had doctors come to us and say, you're never going to have kids. Just give up. Just give up on that idea. You're not going to have kids. We've done the test. We've checked it out. Ain't going to happen. And that was tough. That was tough. You know, God brought us through it. God brought us through it. And let me just say this. God didn't just bring us through because we have a little baby. God brought us through because He is God. God brought us through it. He was going to bring us through it whether we had the little baby or not. God brought us through it. He was going to bring us through it whether our prayers were answered or not. I think of the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. They say, we're not going to bow. We're not going to bow. You're going to go in the fiery furnace. That's fine. We're not going to bow. God might not deliver us. But if He doesn't deliver us, we're not going to bow. Man, we can go for God. We can go forward for God. I don't know what we might be struggling with tonight. I don't know what might be around the corner that we're about to be struggling with. These Hebrew people didn't know. These Hebrew people weren't prepared. But they got a letter. This letter told these Hebrew people, whatever you're struggling with, you can look backward and win the victory. You can look forward and win the victory. You can look upward and win the victory. Man, I want to win the victory for Christ. Amen. I don't know what's coming. I don't know what we're going through right now. God does. Amen. God does. God's greater. God's better. As we continue in this study in Hebrews, we're going to run into that word over and over again. Jesus is better. He's better than the high priest. He's better than Moses. He's better than the angels. He's better. We're going to see it over and over again. Hebrew men, Hebrew ladies, Hebrew kids, they needed comfort. Their comfort was found in recognizing Jesus is better. He's greater. Let's go forward for Him. Let's go forward for Him.